All right. Let's take a little bit of time to go through some things here. And in light of the grace that we have in Christ, such a unique standing and privilege that we have. You know, this word charis, this Greek word charis, only shows up in the Gospels, in the books of Luke and John, never in Matthew and Mark. Of course, I'm sure God's thinking had something to do with the fact that Luke emphasizes Jesus Christ as the man, and John, the Gospel of John, emphasizes Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Actually, only used, guess how many times? No. What's the number for grace, all you scholars out there?
Five.
It's only used five times in Luke and John. Isn't that something? The word charis, only used five times in the Gospels, the total. And five is that number for grace. At least if you're concerned about those kind of things. Of course, if you never had an academic background on the scripture, you probably never know that and never care, really. But it's just the beauty of how God authored his word, you know, authored the scriptures and had holy men of God write them. You know, he had a massive design, and he had an incredible way of articulating his truth. In Luke, we'll look at John. We've already looked at it. Was John chapter 1. But in Luke, we'll look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Now, we read the John chapter 1, right, that we beheld his glory. You know, it was the fullness of glory that was grace and truth. And here it says, after his birth, right, and he grows, they brought him to the temple, you know, when they should have. And in verse 40 it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. That's the record. That's the use of the word charis in Luke as refers to Jesus Christ. And then also in Luke chapter 6, it comes up a couple of times. But remember when we went over the definition of charis, one of the things that charis refers to is the thankfulness that this act of goodwill or kindness evokes, right? The thankfulness, right? So in Luke chapter 6, verse 32, we'll read there. Well, verse 30. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. This is Jesus Christ, you know, preaching to them, teaching them. This, I think, is referred to the Beatitudes, right? Anyway, he's in giving them instruction. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? What everybody has referred to as the golden rule. You know? This is the rule that Jesus Christ, I mean, he gave a lot of rules, but they seem to like this one. Right? But it's all part of something that's coming. He says, for if, look at this, for if, verse 32, ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. He kind of had that figured out, didn't he? This word thank is the word charis. You got to think about that for a minute. It's that thankfulness that an act of grace, unmerited favor, evokes in the recipient. Right? And so he's seeing the natural man, all they want to do is do good to them that do good to you. If someone does something nice to you, you do something nice to them. This is a give and take relationship. And so what thanks for any kind of act of grace do you have? Well, you don't have any because you haven't acted out of grace. You've acted in response to someone else's merit. That's what he's communicating. For sinners do also, they do the same thing. And if you lend to them whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? What charis have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. What he describes to them that the unbelievers do is not grace. What he is encouraging them to do is to walk in grace. Walk with the same kind of grace that the Father is willing to show to you, because you have not earned it. He has healed, he has delivered, he has cast out devil spirits. He's brought people back to their right mind. He has healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease among the people. And he's saying, this is what God's heart is towards you. You did not earn the healing, but he gave it to you anyway. This is part of what grace is. This was what he was filled with, right? And he could only manifest that because his heart was so in tune with the Father's. And so he is encouraging those that follow him to behave in the same way. Be gracious one to another. Because that really is the practical side of love. To give even when it's not deserved. To give expecting nothing in return. And it says, your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. You'll be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The word unthankful there is acharistos, the ungracious. Those that don't know what grace is, he's still kind to them. And he's kind to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And then he goes on to continue. But the heart of what he's instructing them to do is to live and walk with grace. Be gracious like your Heavenly Father is gracious. And the only way they knew that about their Heavenly Father is because he was declaring him. He was making him known for the first time. He was making Jehovah Elohim known as Abba, their father. All they ever knew of God was that he was Jehovah Elohim. He was this covenant God who came to an agreement with a people and said, if you will just follow my rules, if you will just follow my commandments, I'll bless you. If you don't follow my commandments, if you don't do my instruction, then you'll be cursed. Quite a choice, eh? But Christ is explaining how life can be if they will but live with grace in their hearts. They hadn't really received it yet. All they'd known is what Christ had demonstrated to them. But he's instructing them to do the same. Verse 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, that's what it says. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. You know, this is about relationships between people. If you want someone to forgive you, you've You just have to walk in great forgiveness yourself. But by the term of grace, you're willing to forgive whether or not that other individual forgives you or not. Because grace does not expect or anticipate a return. And then what's he say in verse 38? We've read that one before. Give. Don't give like the ungracious give. Right? Expecting to receive more because of your interest. Or don't just loan to them that you expect to get something from. Because you have no real thanks that is a response to grace. And what you're looking for in life is the reward that you get when you live with a gracious heart, knowing that you've received the grace of God, you can give it. So give, and it shall be given unto you. It shall be. If you're not expecting the return, you give just simply because you want to give. You want to do a favor for someone. You want to help them. You want to bless them. The return will be great. Not maybe from that individual, but it says, good measure, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When, and that's, you know, that Orientalism, when they were in the marketplace, the vendors had great competition because they were all, you know, lined up along the street. And when they would come to buy grain from the vendors in the marketplace, they would have their container. I want to buy some grain. And so in order to get the business, the vendor would fill up that container that they had. They'd press it down. They'd shake it together to make sure there's no air gaps and everything would settle down. And then they'd heap on another big, huge amount of it so that it was overflowing. And they said, now there's a measure. There's what you get. See? And this is the results that Christ was saying, you'll get this if you walk with grace. If you walk with that kind of heart. To do good out of what you have, not expecting a return. And he was just instructing them. This is how you live life. And that's how he lived his life, didn't he? He poured his heart out to people. You know, he healed. He was there for people. He delivered them. And then Israel turned on him and had him crucified. He knew it was all going to happen anyway, but he did it anyway. Because he saw the way God sees. He saw through his Father's eyes, not through his own. There's a lot of people that believe and they're following me, but then the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders, they're rejecting me. I know you have a bigger plan here, Father. And he did. He did have a bigger plan. He had us in mind. That's the Gospels when it comes to grace. Okay? It begins to describe the things that you and I have received. The grace that was upon Jesus Christ, the grace that he was filled with and was free to live and manifest. In the book of Acts, another use of it in the book of Acts that we'll look at in Acts chapter 4. Because Luke 1, right, when it referred to Jesus Christ, said the grace of God was upon him. Boy, and he had a pretty good life going, didn't he? He had access to the Father. He had all the power of the Father resident upon him. He manifested. He did great works. He didn't have any concern for what he would eat, what he would put on. He knew that was something the Gentiles get concerned with, but God knew his needs, and he knew God would take care of him. And God took great care of him. Right? And God took great care of those that followed him and believed him. He fed multitudes with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Not just once, but twice, right? But the grace of God was upon him. You know, God favored him because he was his son. God favored him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, we've read this verse. This is after they were threatened, right? And they got together with the believers and the apostles prayed. They prayed that they could continue to do the signs and wonders, that they could continue to heal people. And verse 31 says, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke as God gave them the words to speak. As they were out among the people, they continued to proclaim the gospel, that God had given his son, and that his son died for them, and that God had raised him from the dead. And because of that, we stand in the grace of God. They continued to preach that. And the multitude, it says, verse 32, of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed that it was his own, but they had all things in common. When they had more than they needed because they were prosperous, they shared that among the other believers that maybe were not so fortunate in their business endeavors or in their livelihoods. They shared those things. And they shared first and foremost to those apostles who were preaching the word, who were out there preaching. They shared their goods with them. They said, you guys get busy and preach. You know, we're so blessed with what we've received. And it says, in great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, to witness the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And when he raised him from the dead, he raised every believer from the dead also. Those that choose to believe, they're raised with him. They're made alive. They're ascended and they're seated with him. And they're endowed with all of the power and all of the authority that Christ walked with, each believer is endowed with and given. This was the good news. And it says the result was great grace was upon them all. No longer was it just the grace upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but it was grace upon every believer. Great grace upon them. Megas in the Greek. It was mega grace. Mega charis. Megas charis. Boy, wouldn't it be fun to be a Greek? Where's George left? George knows Greek, but he knows real, you know, real life Greek, not the old Bible Greek. So when you talk Bible Greek to George, it's like it's all Greek to him. He doesn't. He does know Greek though, because he grew up half of his life there or something, back and forth. So look at what we have now. The results of what we have. It never says great grace was upon Noah. It never says great grace was upon Lot. It never says great grace was upon Abraham. It says great grace is upon us. Never has anyone had it the way we have it. And it's all without merit. It's not just because they considered all things common. That wasn't why there was great grace upon them. It was because they just continued to believe in the resurrection, the gospel, and the power that they were seeing that was a result of it, the healing, the deliverance. Oh, the joy that this evoked in them. Because that's what charis does. That's what grace does. It instills great joy. It causes you to be filled with joy when you really see it. This is not an emotional thing. You got to work yourself into it. It's something that happens deep within you when you really see and understand the greatness of what you have in Christ. That is all by His grace. Great grace was upon them all. That's a great record. and it begins to show us in the church epistles, beginning with Romans, the reality of what this great grace upon us all entitles us to. And we'll begin to look at that here after a break, okay? Okay, so I just wanted to clarify something. I'm adding this after I've listened and edited a couple of the things in the teaching. But just so there's no confusion, I know some of you like to add, and you can certainly add how many times grace is used in the Gospels. There is a total of 7, but only 5 of them represent unmerited favor. Okay, only 5. Unmerited favor. So, the additional 2, which we read in chapter 6, different meaning, so I did not include them in the 5 times that grace is used. It's still emphasizing 5 times. However, the response is what those other 2 have to do with. The response, the thanks that it calls out in return, the appreciation that it calls out in return in the recipient. So, just to clarify that, so there's no confusion, and love you all. God bless. Thanks.